Good morning. I am Amy. If I haven't met you, I am honored to be on staff here at Ashworth, and I'm glad to be sharing this morning. I get the privilege of ending our series on Who Do You Think You Are? And talking about who we are in Christ and our identity in Christ. So if you need a reminder, I thought I'd give a reminder, a little recap of what we've been through in the last few weeks. The first week, we heard about how you are free. Ryan shared about our freedom as followers of Christ, that we've been freed from sin and from bondage and from death and all these things that entangle us and that we still get wrapped up in and we still feel the effects of today. But through the cross of Jesus, we are free. You are free. You are restored. I shared about how God makes something beautiful even in the midst of pain and hurt, and he is committed to restoring things. He's committed to making things new, making all things new, including those situations in your life. You are restored. You are chosen. And often in life, we feel like even no matter who you are, we've experienced some kind of rejection or the feeling of not belonging. And God says, no, you are chosen. In the family of God, you are chosen. You belong. And then there was, you are blessed, and Brent talked about the hashtag blessed, you know, usually meaning you got a new car, you have nice stuff, but as followers of Jesus, you are blessed means that there is blessing that God is pouring out in your life and that you're invited to give to others, even in pain, even through pain, we are experiencing being blessed, a blessed people. And then Ryan shared last week about being one in Christ and being united in Christ, to each other as a body, and to Jesus. And finally, this morning, I'm wrapping us up with, you are a witness. You are a witness. And I love that this idea of being a witness is the last thing in this series, because it makes sense to me, right? When you are a witness to all those things that I just shared about. You're a witness to being free. You're a witness to experiencing restoration in your lives. You are a witness to being chosen, to feeling like you belong and finding a family in God's people. You are a witness to being blessed and to get to share your blessings with others. You are a witness to the body of Christ, to being one with other Christians and one with Christ. You are a witness to all of those things. And the other thing I like about this idea of witness is that each week so far, we haven't been addressing activities that we do as Christians. It's not like these are things we do. It's who you are. You are chosen. You are blessed. You are restored. That's not activity. That's who God calls you. And the same thing actually goes for witness, which is surprising because witness is an active word, right? Witness is this idea of you're doing something. There's activity. There is a way that there is witnessing that's activity. But this morning, as we're talking about, as I'm sharing, I want to share with you that witness is just the same as those other words. It's identity. It's not just activity. Your witness is identity. It's a part of who you are as a follower of Jesus. And so as I thought about where to begin, I thought, okay, let's go back to where witness becomes necessary. So there are many times through Scripture we hear about people kind of sharing the good news of God, and we hear about, especially in the Gospels, you hear stories that I love to tell, like about all the different folks who encounter Jesus, and they meet him, and they have an encounter with him, and what do? Even when Jesus tells them not to, they go and tell their friends, right? They go back, they go home, and they tell their household, they tell their village, they tell their friends, right? It's inevitable because people, we are made to be witnesses, right? When something amazing happens to you or you meet somebody pretty phenomenal, you tell other people. And so in the Gospels, we see that a lot. And what happened was people would bring their friends to Jesus or they'd invite Jesus back to their house. Well, what happens when Jesus leaves? What happens when there's no longer Jesus to bring your friends to? And that's where I want to come in this morning. So in the book of Acts is where Jesus leaves the scene. This is after he's been resurrected and he's been in the wilderness and then kind of making appearances over 40 days. And now he's talking to his disciples or his apostles, and he's telling them, you know, you need to prepare yourself because I'm leaving. And that's where I want to jump in this morning. It's in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. So he's eating with them. It says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, his disciples, he gave them this command. He said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and they asked him, Lord, at this time are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. So Jesus here is telling his apostles, he's saying, I'm going to leave, and I have a plan, though. And my plan is this. You will be my witnesses, and you're going to receive power from the Holy Spirit to do it, and you're going to go all over with it. Now, if I was sitting there in that conversation, if I was having this meal with Jesus, and I've just been with him for a few years, and I watched him do all this ministry, I watched him die and then be resurrected, right? There's enough emotion and drama in that. And now he's telling me that he's leaving and it's time. I would be freaking out, right? I would be saying, what do we do when you leave? How are you just established the kingdom of God. You know, we've just been, like, we have momentum. The church is starting to form, right? Like, we are just getting some momentum. And now you're going to leave? And your plan is for me to be your witnesses, right? If I was in that position, I would have some questions about Jesus' strategy. But Jesus has a strategy, and his strategy is this. It's the Acts 1:8. It's, you will be my witnesses. You will receive power from the Holy Spirit to do it. And you will bear witness in these places, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And so those are the things I want to get into this morning as I talk about how we are witnesses to Jesus. So number one, you'll be my witnesses. What is a witness? What is a witness? What makes a witness distinctive? I was thinking about a witness in terms of like court or, I'm one of those young ones who still likes to watch the news, and I love all the eyewitness. I love the people who are on the scene, you know. I have my favorite anchor and everything. It's bad. But I love an eyewitness account, and that's what I was thinking about. A witness is someone who has seen something. They have information that you don't, and they're going to tell you about it. So a witness is someone who has witnessed something. They've seen something happen. They've encountered something. They've come upon a scene. You know, they happen to be in the right place at the right time, and they witness an event. They see something happen, or they encounter something, and then they tell about it, right? And we call that to testify. They testify about what they've seen, or they report what they've seen. And for the apostles who are listening and having dinner with Jesus and listening to this, I'm sure that when they think about, when he says, you'll be my witnesses, I imagine that they're playing this tape of the last few years of their time with Jesus, and they're thinking, what have I been a witness to? Oh, remember that time Jesus healed that person. Remember that time Jesus was teaching, and I thought they were going to kill him because he was saying things that were so scandalous and backwards from what the religious leaders were saying, you know, or they're thinking, oh, remember that time when crowds were gathering around because they were so intrigued by what Jesus was saying. I mean, they had been witnesses. These ones that he's talking to in Acts had witnessed many things. They had seen healings, right? They'd seen him raised from the dead. I mean, they'd seen incredible things. They'd eaten with Jesus. They'd traveled with Jesus. I'm like, well, you really get to know someone when you travel with them, right? They'd traveled with him. I mean, they knew Jesus. And they would be his witnesses. And they would be his witnesses by telling what they'd seen and what they'd experienced and what they'd encountered as they traveled and ate and watched and helped Jesus. So what does that mean for us today, right? We don't have Jesus. I wish we don't have Jesus right here, you know, telling me, hey, Amy, we're going to go do this. Follow me. Come with me. I don't get to see Jesus physically right here in front of me heal someone. You know, I don't have that experience. But on the other hand, I do. In fact, it's hard for me to say I don't have that experience because we do. We don't tangibly, physically necessarily have Jesus present with us, but through the Holy Spirit, we still get to encounter in a tangible way even Jesus. We've seen Jesus transform us and our own hearts, right? Some of us have seen Jesus transform people in our lives. Some of us have seen Jesus heal physically or heal emotionally wounds that we've had. Many of us have stories of ways that there's been, that God has given us comfort in situations that have been hard or painful, where we know that Jesus, right? I know that. There are times when things have happened in my life where I've seen transformation where I'm like certain there's no one that could give me that comfort or there's no one that could transform like that. That's Jesus. And so in some ways, we do see Jesus at work. We get to see, and it's different than these apostles would have seen, but it's similar in that we do see Jesus work. We do see his movement, and we see the way he changes things and the way God heals and restores and frees, just like we've been talking about. And our job, like it was these apostles, is to tell people, is to share what we've seen, to share what we've encountered by the way we live and by what we say and by how we talk about it. And I like the idea because I think often when we think about being witnesses or we think about evangelism or all those big words about telling people about Jesus, we focus on the what. What do we say? What do we talk about? What are we what do we do? What do we say? And really the focus is on who. When you think about a witness, the focus is on who are we talking about? Who have we witnessed? And who is it that has witnessed them? And what's their story? What's my story? And that's what Jesus is inviting them to, and he's inviting us to today as followers of his, is to tell our stories, is to be witnesses. Eyewitnesses to our own experience, to be reporters of our own lives, of the things that we've encountered and experienced through Jesus. Your life is a testimony. Your life is a witness to who Jesus is. And I was thinking about this because one of my favorite stories in Acts is a few chapters back, and it's in Acts 4, and it's when Jesus has left and things are starting, there's some momentum and the Holy Spirit has moved and come. They waited, the Holy Spirit comes, and now these guys are like empowered to go out and to preach the gospel and to be witnesses. And so Peter and John are doing that. They're being witnesses to what they've seen. They're out among the crowds. They're telling people, you know, about what Jesus has done for them, and they're telling stories and they're being witnesses. And the Sanhedrin doesn't like this. So the Sanhedrin would have been like the religious Supreme Court of the time. So the Sanhedrin brings them in and says, I want to know, like, what power and authority do you have to be sharing these stories, you know, and to be talking about this?" And Peter says, "Well, you know, I was just telling the crowd about this time when a crippled man, was healed, and they asked me, who healed him? And I said, Jesus. I saw it with my own eyes. You know, it was Jesus." And so he basically is like, we're just giving testimony. We're just giving witness to what we've seen. That's all we're doing. And when people ask us, we're going to give witness to what we've seen. And the Sanhedrin responds in a beautiful way, actually. So Acts, this is a great verse here. Acts 4, chapter 4, verse 13. It says, so after they share with the Sanhedrin about this story, they say to them, "When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that these were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus." I love that line. These men had been with Jesus. They noticed, okay, they're not very smart. They're kind of ordinary. And these guys are out in the streets and people are becoming believers and like they have power and authority. And now they realize where it's come from. They're like, oh, it's because they've been with Jesus. They've been with Jesus, and they're astonished. And I love that line. Matthew and I were talking about it just this weekend as I was going through my message, and he said, oh, what if, like, wouldn't that be amazing if that's what people thought about our lives? Like, oh, Matthew and Amy, like, they're unschooled, ordinary. I mean, we always, honestly, if we're real, we, like, desire to be known for something awesome, right? Or known for, you know, being great in our careers or whatever, our stuff. But what if people were like, oh, the Beckers, they're kind of ordinary, a little unschooled, you know, there's nothing special about them, but I can tell that they've been with Jesus. Like, oh, both of us were like, that's what we want in our life. Really, that's what we want. Like, what a witness. I feel like that's a beautiful example of witness, that people would say, oh, I don't know about Kim Runge. I don't know, maybe she's unschooled, she's ordinary, but I can tell that Kim has been with Jesus, right? What a witness that is. And I love that part of the story, because these guys were just unschooled, ordinary men, and they were out and about, and they were witnessing about what they had seen and what they'd encountered, and people were coming to faith in Jesus, and they were building that early church. It makes me think about, this is a silly story, but it makes me think about this guy that I met at the Apple Store. So in the Jordan Creek Mall, you know, they have that beautiful Apple Store. I have an Apple computer, and I was really frustrated. This was a few years ago, but I was really frustrated because my battery was not working, and it had happened a few times. So I'd had battery issues like multiple times in a year. So I go in there, and you have to sign up, and you sit at this thing they call the Genius Bar, and you sit down, and a genius comes up to you, and they're going to help you with your computer. Well, my genius name was Charlie, and he came up to me, and I gave him a piece of my mind. I was like, this computer has not worked, like, multiple times, and I need it. Like, I write for my job, I speak, I have to have my computer, blah, 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 you know. I was mad, and I was like, and this has happened multiple times, so, like, I'm not leaving here until this is fixed. And he's like, okay, yeah, I totally understand why you're frustrated. I mean, he de-escalated. He was so kind. He was so gracious. And I thought, wow, this guy has been trained in customer service. Like, he is good. He knows his stuff. And then I had to sit and wait for a while, and I watched him. It was busy, and I watched him interacting with other people. So there were a couple other customers that were asking him questions while he was waiting for my issue to resolve. And he was really nice to them, too. He was kind. He was patient. There was a lot of angry people there. You know, they want their stuff fixed. They want their technology to work and work now. And he was graciously interacting with everyone. And then a manager comes over, and I overhear a conversation between him and a manager. And I'm thinking, this guy is more than a good customer service expert. Like, I think that he's a Christian. Like, he just is too kind, too patient. And there's just this way about him. So we were talking, he came back to me, we were working on my battery issue. I'm still being probably kind of rude. And I say to him, can I ask you a question? He said, yeah. I said, do you love Jesus? And he laughed, he goes, yeah, actually I do. Why did you ask me that? I was like, because you act like it, you know? You're nice, you're so kind and patient. You've been dealing with me and all these people. And I said, I could just tell that you love Jesus. He laughed, he's like, yeah. You know, my dad's a pastor, I'm on a worship team. I was like, I knew it, I nailed it. And then I said, I am a Christian too, I'm sorry that you can't tell, you know. And then actually, just to give you full disclosure on this story, I got his information, asked him I was like, I work with young women, and it's rare to find young men who are awesome, who love Jesus. So can I set you up with some, Charlie and I are still friends on Facebook today, so. It's a silly story, but it's true. Haven't you met people? Have you encountered people where you're like, I know that you've been with Jesus. I know that person loves you. I just know it. You've been with Jesus. It's obvious because of the way you are, because of the way you speak. And I long to live that way. I think that's part of our witness, is even just the way we live and interact with people. We become people like Peter and John, where they say, wow, I can tell that you've been with Jesus. What if people said that about our lives? And we don't do it just in the way we live. We always give testimony, right? A person, a witness is somebody who's encountered it. Their life shows, but they use words to tell about it as well. And Charlie actually shared with me then, like we had a great spiritual conversation. He told me, he said, yeah, actually, I've had an opportunity on more than one occasion in this job because people are under such stress and I can be patient with them. I've had opportunities to share my faith with people in this setting. And that's what we get to do. We get to give witness through our lives, through the way we are, and through our words to who Jesus is. And that's God's plan. And the good news is that we don't do it alone. So the second part of this passage in Acts is that you will be my witnesses, and you'll receive power from the Holy Spirit to do it. So you don't do it alone, and you don't do it just in your own strength or your own power, right? And that's a good thing, because actually the task that God calls those apostles in that moment, and us too, is an impossible task, right? He says, which we'll get into later, but he says, I want you to go to Judea, Samaria, you know, the ends of the earth. I mean, essentially, he's saying, I want you, you few guys, I want you to carry on the gospel, the good news, to the rest of the world. Okay, I'm going to leave, and that's your gig now. And can you imagine if you're sitting there, you're like, this is an impossible task. Like, that's crazy. There was no air travel. You know, there was no internet then. There was not a way for information to be disseminated quickly. I'd be thinking, like, you want me to get on a boat and go, yep, I do. And that's what they did. They got on boats and they went to new places and they witnessed. And they did what Jesus asked them to do because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's amazing. It's kind of crazy when you think about it, that Jesus' strategy actually worked and is working, that many people around the world have heard, have experienced people coming to them who are bearing witness to the Jesus that they've experienced and to the love that Jesus has for them. He says, I will give you my Holy Spirit. And so we can have comfort in that, in knowing that Jesus, yes, has called us to be witnesses, but he calls us to that and he says, you're not alone in it. I'm going to give you power from the Holy Spirit. And if you're those guys who are sitting and having dinner with Jesus and he starts talking to you about the power of the Holy Spirit, again, I think their minds would begin to think about the times they've seen the power of the Holy Spirit, right? These guys have gotten to witness incredible things. Power, they've seen power heal people, right? They've seen power restore people. They saw the people who were possessed come into their right minds and experience wholeness. I mean, they saw incredible things. They watched Jesus himself die and be resurrected through the power of the Holy Spirit. And now Jesus is saying to them, you're my witnesses, but don't worry. I know it seems like an impossible task, but you have the Holy Spirit. So he's going to go with you, and also he's going to give you the power that you need. You know, the same power that you saw when you saw blind eyes healed and you saw lame men walk, that same power is in you now as the Holy Spirit comes. The same power that resurrected Jesus from the grave is the same power that lives in you when the Holy Spirit comes on you. That's the same power that you have. And now you go. That's empowerment. Wow. Like, you're not just a little nobody going off somewhere, right? That's what you saw in Peter and John. That's what the Sanhedrin saw in Peter and John. They're these unschooled, ordinary guys, but they are seeing great impact through their witness. And it's because the Holy Spirit lives in them. And then the third thing we see that you'll be witnesses, that you'll receive power from the Holy Spirit to do it, and then we see that you'll bear witness in these places, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And so I wonder, what does it mean? What does it mean for us? We are witnesses. We talked about what it means to be witnesses. What does it mean to be witnesses in those places? Well, for these guys, it would have been Jerusalem was like their kind of people group, their culture. It would have been their, you know, people that would have been close to them. Their Judea would have been their city or their kind of the center of their city. Like it would have been, you know, people that they're connected to, but that they don't necessarily know, their city. Their Samaria would have been the people they weren't supposed to go to, people that they were scared of, people that they didn't like, people that they thought were unclean. And Jesus is like, no, I want you to go to Samaria. Go to those folks. And then he's saying, go to the ends of the earth, the places you don't even know exist yet. And I think those are similar for us today. So we think about Jesus wants you to be a witness in your Jerusalem, in your people group, in your culture, in your own, the people who are close to you. Think about your family and the people that you see daily, you know, the people that are close to you, your good friends. Jesus wants you to be a witness there, and you probably are whether you know it or not, because those are the people that you interact with all the time, right? You think about kind of even casually being a witness in your day-to-day life, the way you act, the way you speak. And if you do speak about Jesus, and when you do. Jesus also is inviting you, like, be witnesses in your city. And I think we feel that as this church, where we feel Jesus saying, Ashworth Road, be witnesses in your neighborhood, in your community, right? And I think he's calling us even individually. Jesus is saying, be witnesses in your communities, in your circles, in your city, at your job, and influence the city. Think about that. I did think, even this morning as I walked in and saw the giant thing of peanut butter, I'm like, that's a witness. It's a witness to Jesus, because we're seeing needs provided for in our community. We are called to be witnesses in our city, in our community. I thought of my dad, actually. My dad and stepmom are interim pastors for a couple little rural churches in, like, small town southern Iowa. And they're about to retire, and I was talking with my stepmom, and she said that the other day they were leaving, pulling out, and the mayor of their little town knocked on the door of the car and had my dad roll down the window, and he said, I heard you guys are retiring. I heard you're leaving, and I just want to say, I'm really going to miss you. And he doesn't really know my dad well. My dad said, yeah, he's never sat in a Sunday morning service or anything. But he said, You have changed this little town. You have had an impact. Like, people love you. People know you. You guys do Bible studies for people that aren't in your church. And, you know, there's a morale even among people because of you. So thank you. And you're going to be missed. And I thought, oh, wow, that's a story of witness, right? I mean, what a witness to his little town even. God invites us to care about our city, and to care about our country, to care about people we wouldn't normally care about. He says, those are the people that scare you, that intimidate you, that make you nervous. Those are maybe the people that your parents told you to stay away from. No, those are people you need to love. Go there. Go out of your way to Samaria. Go out of your way to get to know people who aren't like you, and to bear witness to Jesus, and that he's good, and that he's transformed you with his love. And then he says, you know, it's our job. Go to the ends of the earth. And we can't all do that, right? We can't all, we don't all have the money to go and fly. We don't all have the calling to go and live cross-culturally. But some of us do. And all of us are called on some level to care deeply about the world. So as followers of Jesus, we should be people who are paying attention to what's happening in the ends of the earth, right? And to care and to pray, right? The cyclone that just went through Mozambique. Like, there's always pain, there's always issues happening around our world, and we should care deeply, not just because we care about our own safety. We should care because we care about their hearts. We want people to know and experience the love of Jesus. And so we should care, and we should give when people are having crisis around the world, or to the India church plant, as our brothers and sisters shared. And shared about the impact there. We should be faithful to give and to say, yes, Jesus, we will be witnesses in whatever capacity we can to the world. Jesus longs to use us. He longs for us to be witnesses in our communities, in our families, in our places of work, and to the world. And he says, you will bear witness in those places. And I was thinking this week, Ryan and I were talking in Message Community on Monday, and we were talking about, well, where does witness come up in the Old Testament? You know, where do we see witness, or that idea of, you know, testifying or testimony? And the kind of key place where it's really referenced is the around the Ark of the Testimony. And if you know what the Ark of the Testimony is, you know, it's this beautiful gold box, essentially, that housed the Ten Commandments. That was the, it was a symbol to these people of the presence of God. The Ark of the Testimony actually got its name, the Ark of the Testimony, because it was a testimony to God's people of God's presence, and that God was with them, and that he was for them, and he was going with them. And so as they traveled through the wilderness to the promised land, and they endured so much, they had the Ark of the Testimony with them as a testimony to God's goodness and God's provision and God's presence, right? And then in the New Testament, what happens? Witness is no longer in a place. Witness is not the Ark of the Testimony. Witness is not the Ten Commandments. Witness isn't in a place. Witness is a people. And that's why this message is actually about identity. You are witnesses. The presence of God, the testimony of God, the witness of God is in his people. We become witnesses. Witness is not in a place. And I think that most of us in this room would agree with that. Some of you are even nodding. Yeah, that's true. But a lot of times, I think we still believe that witness is in a place. Usually it's the church, right? We're like, oh, if I want my friends to know Jesus, if I want my coworkers to experience God's love, I have to bring them to this church. And then they hear a sermon from Brent, and you know, and you should do that on Easter. Brent would say, Amy, you should do that on Easter. Bring your folks. We do want people to come and encounter God in this place because we do believe that the presence of God dwells here. But we also believe, each of us, that this the testimony of God, the witness of God lives in each of you. As I look at you, I'm like, yeah, we heard a story this morning. Beth Rhodes, you are a witness to Jesus in your neighborhood, right? We hear these stories. You are a witness to Jesus. Each one of you, I look at your faces. I'm like, Trisha, Wheelock, you are a witness to Jesus on campuses with students. There's a way that each of us is a witness to Jesus in each place in our life. And that was God's strategy, that his kingdom would move forward through his people, not through a place and not through activity, but through us sharing what we care about, sharing the ways that God has transformed us and telling about it as well and telling our stories. So this morning, I want to challenge you and I want to ask you a question that I've been asking myself this week. Is your life a witness to Jesus? I know I just said it is. You are. If you are a follower of Jesus, then you are his strategy. You are his witnesses. But does it seem that way to other people? Do other people notice that? Do you believe that? I asked myself this question. I've been reading this challenging book about parenting because I need a lot of help. It's about intentional parenting. It was called Intentional Parenting. I'm reading it with some of the women in this church. And there was something about, you know, go through and talk with your spouse about what are the values, what are the core things about our family that matter, that we would say really matter to us. And then it was like, now go ask your kids, what really matters to mom and dad, you know? I didn't even ask Pearl because I didn't want to hear. But I knew, I'm like, she's going to be like, oh, my mom's phone is her core value, you know? Oh, my mom having my toys in the toy box and then the kitchen clean, that's a value to her, you know? I'm like, oh, it's convicting. I want Pearl to say like, oh, you know, I know what matters to my mom and dad. When we see somebody on the side of the road that's like asking for money and struggling, they stop and they interact with them and they give them something and they talk with them. Or I hope she notices those things. I want her to say, oh, my parents, we always have people in and out of our house that don't look like us or talk like us, that are different than us. I know that, you know, I know that's a value. I'm like, it convicts me to think about what is my life a witness to? And then what am I telling her? And we do that in every place in our lives. We do it casually in our small circles, and we're intentional to say we want to be a witness to the ends of the earth too. So again, this morning I want to ask, is your life a witness to Jesus? And if it's not, maybe it's because you've never encountered Jesus before. Maybe you've never met him. In order to be a witness, you have to have seen something, know something, encountered something. Maybe you've been coming to church, but you've never really had an experience where you've met and encountered and had a personal relationship with Jesus. And if that's you, come find me. I want to pray for you and talk to you about what that is and how to do that. And some of you, maybe you are witnesses to Jesus, but the stories that you have are just long ago. It's been a while since you feel like you've encountered Jesus and have a new story to tell. And so I want to pray for you this morning too as we close. And then I also want to share with you, just this week on Wednesday night, Suki and I are planning a prayer night at the church. And it's just going to be just under an hour, so it's not too long. And I promise it's not going to be us all in a circle just quietly in prayer for 1 hour. Even I wouldn't enjoy that. It's going to be interactive, and we're going to talk about what is your Judea and your Samaria. We're going to pray for the ends of the earth. We're going to pray for our neighborhood, and we're going to ask God to use us individually and us as a church to be witnesses all over. And so we want to invite you. That's at 6 o'clock on Wednesday night, so please come. Maybe even just as a response to this message to say, yeah, I do want my life to be a witness, and I want to be more intentional about it. Will you pray with me?